All right, welcome back to the Giants pregame show on KMBR, the sports leader. Kerry Crowley assisting me as we welcome in Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez, beat writer for the San Francisco Giants. You can read his work on KMBR.com, and you can also check him out on Twitter at Mark W. Sanchez. How are you doing this afternoon, Mark?
Doing well. I'm coming to you live right from the copy machine, right off the press box at Oracle Park. So if there are loud noises, I'm apologizing right now. But how are you guys doing?
Doing great, Mark. Hey, we want to talk a little bit about some Giants baseball to you today, as usual. A name coming out of that bullpen, Zach Littell. He's been in 11 games, 9 2/3 innings, only given up a home run. 3 walks, 8 Ks, a .93 earned run average. Not bad, but the question is, I got to ask you, is he a ZZ Top fan with that beard he's wearing?
Who do you like better, Hayes or Connor Menezes? I think that's the big question. Actually, I talked with Connor early in spring training and asked him about it because both of their beards are just about the same. And he's like, yeah, pretty much once I saw him, I called him out and complimented it, and he thinks that his is better, and I think Littell agrees. But you're right. Actually, on the mound, Littell is also a good pitcher, and he's pretty much been exactly what the Giants needed. I mean, they've been looking for a righty like him for, you know, all this season and all last year because, you know, they've struggled in that spot in the sixth and seventh innings and even eighth. And what, you know, when he's throwing mid-90s, when he's got, you know, now a splitter that used to be a changeup, his slider too, he's got real good stuff. And it's stuff that used to be he came up as a starter and never really got it all together. And then he sort of put it together with Minnesota out of the bullpen. And he had a really nice year with them a couple years back. And I think we're starting to see, you know, exactly what he was that year. He's been pretty much exactly what the Giants have asked for so far.
Hey, Mark, a little secret about that copy room that I also use as a broadcast center. If you look across from the copy machine and reach into the cabinet, there's some espresso pods. So if you get tired, you can make yourself some espresso during the game. But it should be an intriguing first few innings at the very least, Mark, with Scott Kazmir getting the call today. We talked about this on KMBR Tonight last night, and I'm sure you talked about it with Adam Copeland this morning. The busiest man in KMBR is you right now. Scott Kazmir's story, phenomenal, and Gabe Kapler alluded to it today. What was the conversation between the manager and the pitcher like when he called him?
First of all, now when you hear the espresso being made, I'm going to blame it on the fax machines and the copy machines here. But yes, it is really a remarkable story with Kazmir. You know, he debuted in 2004. He debuted when George W. Bush was in his first term as president. He's been around forever. And, you know, when he last pitched for the Rays, Evan Longoria was his third baseman and Gabe Kapler was his left fielder. That was the last lineup that he that was behind him for that team. So it really must have meant something obviously for Kazmir, but for Kapler too, to give him the call last night and to tell him the news that, you know, 5 years later, he's back in the major leagues. And Kapler said, you know, it was really cool for him too, just to be able to deliver that news. And it was over the phone, obviously, but he said, I could hear him, or I could pretty much hear him smiling. And if you talk with the Scott Kazmir a little bit, you know what he means, because he's such an appreciative and happy guy. And he left really tired. He left sort of in purgatory, that he had parents to care for. He had 2 kids. He had things to do. Never really stepped too far away from the game, but just stopped playing for a while. And the fact that it's back now, and we'll at least see a couple innings of it. I mean, we'll see how long it lasts, you know, in the long term. But the fact that this is even happening, I mean, it's a movie, and we're about to watch it.
Well, Mark, one of the reasons why we see Scott Kazmir is the shoulder possibility of an injury with Logan Webb and Sanchez. Do you know of any more rehab things on both these guys so far?
Actually, Aaron Sanchez was just throwing out here today at Oracle Park, and that this is, I believe, the first time that he's thrown since seeing Dr. Eletrash last week, which is encouraging. And look, anytime a pitcher goes to see Dr. Neil Eletrash, it's almost never good news. But they said it was promising coming out of there. The fact that he's now going to be able to build up, he's, you know, at least not right now, he's not headed for surgery, not anything like that. They're allowing him to build up. It'll still be a couple weeks, I imagine. But the fact that he was able to at least throw today, that's awfully encouraging. I think they still believe that, Logan Webb only missed one start. At least that was the last we'd heard on that. And I guess they're going to try to piece it together today because Kazmir is not built up. He's maybe throwing 60 pitches at most, but then we'll probably see Tropiano, and the bullpen is pretty rested. So it'll be a big bullpen day, which against Walker Buehler and the Dodgers, that's a lot to ask for, but they've at least got the arms for it right now.
You know, Mark, you make a really good point. You never want to hear a pitcher and Neil Eletrosh in the same sentence. It reminds me, like, Dr. James Andrews, Dr. Stephen Shin, Ken Okazuki, Mark Philippon. Those are all bad words in the baseball world, and it feels like it's got to be good for Aaron Sanchez to be back on the field after a recent visit. I want to throw you a question that Bill asked me earlier, and it kind of stumped me and made me realize that maybe the Giants aren't giving Steven Duggar as long of a look as I thought they might. Mike Tauchman continues to start in center field, the average below 200, the OPS below 600. Do you think that there's any consideration to give Duggar more opportunities in the coming days?
I do think so, although tomorrow is Urias, who's a lefty, so I don't think, I mean, I'd be surprised, honestly, if either one of them is in there. But yes, I think they want to give Tauchman a little bit longer look. Look, they view him as a longer-term solution, Duggar. I think by adding him and even saying that, you know, this was not a temporary thing, that this is a guy that Farhan has had his eye on for quite a while, that shows that they believe in his game and they like the makeup of him. He's not hitting right now, but he's still doing what a lot of this lineup does and seeing a lot of pitches, and a lot of times that has ended up in strikeouts, but he is working down opposing pitchers, which they like. And I think they think that it will turn. But you do wonder, you know, he's got a couple more 0-for-3, 0-for-4 days. I think we're going to see more Duggar. And Duggar has been really good, but Duggar has also struck out a lot and does not have quite the plate discipline that Tauchman offers. So I think they want to see Tauchman come around because they like the game a little bit more. But you're right. If this happens a couple more days, I think we'll see more Steven Duggar.
You know, Mark, in Cincinnati, we saw a little combination at the end of the bullpen with Rogers and McGee splitting time, switching roles. Is this something that Gabe Kapler's fooling around with, or is this something where somebody's going to get a day off and he'll get the spot, he'll get the start, he'll get the save, things like that? Is it just going to be a mixed match at the end, or do you think this has a little flavor to it?
I think that Jake McGee is the ostensible closer. You know, I think Kapler would like to use him in the ninth. Clearly, he is comfortable there. And I think the bullpen is comfortable with that they view him as sort of the end game guy. Having said that, Tyler Rogers is clearly the most trusted reliever in the bullpen, and with good reason. He's kind of saves Tyler Rogers for whatever spot is biggest. That in Cincinnati, he wanted Rogers up against the top of that lineup. You want him and Castellanos and get ground balls from those powerful Reds hitters. I think that we'll see the same thing tonight and in the coming days and weeks, because, you know, he'd rather have McGee in the ninth and Rogers in, you know, a high leverage situation in the seventh or eighth, and if they get into trouble and he can come in and get a double play ball, something like that, which is just the game today. You know, it's sure McGee is the closer, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's, you know, the most trusted or best option sometimes. I think they like having Rogers sort of whenever they need him. And it's Tyler Rogers, and he's kind of shown that whenever they need him, you know, on back-to-back days, 3 days in a row, whatever, he's going to be able to go in there and get ground balls.
Hey, Mark, one more from me. You know, the Scott Kazmir story is tremendous. We alluded to it, but the move to get him on the roster kind of flew under the radar. The Giants designated local guy Braden Bishop for assignment, the older brother of Hunter Bishop. It was a heartwarming story to see him come home after being DFA'd by the Mariners last week. His baby was just born. He was going to go play in Sacramento for the Rivercats. Now Bishop in limbo. What did you think of that move that the Giants made today, and did it catch you by surprise at all?
Yeah, it's harsh. That is the Farhan regime at its harshest. Mm-hmm. And they did time it with adding Kazmir. And so it does fly under the radar, and it really puts a damper on a really, really nice story. Look, they want to keep Braden Bishop. I have no doubt of that. they've actually got a need right now in the Sacramento outfield. They hope that he comes through waivers and they can keep him there. But that's just kind of what happens with this regime and valuing, you know, the 39th, 40th roster spots for guys who you take chances on. You clearly like the players they are, but you also hope that, you know, you can sneak them through waivers. And we've seen that a bunch with this regime, that they like those spots to kind of find guys and waive them and then sneak them through, which is great when it works. And when it's players who we don't really know about, we kind of shrug at it. But when it's Hunter Bishop's brother and their story, it's got to be tough for the both of them.
Mark, final thoughts. 4:15 start, pretty bright at Oracle Park right now where you are. Do you think we're going to have problems with the shadows or anything that to prevail the hitters to see?
I think so, actually. That's the weird thing about these, you know, mid-afternoon starts is then the shadows start creeping in and maybe not. We don't get offense till the fifth. That's what we saw in Cincinnati for those days, because of the weird mid-afternoon starts. That probably bodes well for the Giants, honestly, because if there's not going to be much offense, they will sign up for that, you know, with their pitching versus the Dodgers pitching right now, because I'm not sure if the Giants can count on much offense, regardless, I think.
Well, Mark, thank you for your time. We appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you as the season progresses. And again, Kerry Crowley helping me out through the pregame show, and we'll be right back as we go to the booth at Oracle Park on KNBR, the sports leader.